Good afternoon and welcome to Focus on the Foothills. My name is Angela. My guest today, Ann Amscher, the director at the Wilkes County Health Department. Ann, good to have you with us on the program today.
Thank you for having me, Angela. I will apologize. I have a bit of a cold, so if my voice cracks or sounds funny, you will just have to forgive me.
Which is why Ann is not here in person. When I was talking to her this week, she said, I'm sick. I'm the health director. I can't make other people sick. I can't be there. And so I said, well, we'll do it by phone. So I appreciate you talking to me by phone today. And there's two or three things going on. Let's start with the good news. The good news is that recently, you guys actually received some federal funding, a federal grant for a really awesome thing, a Wilkes Community Health Center. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. We received federal funding. It's called a FQHC or a Federally Qualified Health Center. So we applied for this grant back in June and July. We have been looking at opportunities to apply now for several years, and we just had to wait for the federal government releases this money from time to time for folks to apply. So we were fortunate to spend all that work pulling together some information, and we applied for the grant, and I'm happy to say that we did receive the grant. This grant is wonderful news for our community. This money is used in a lot of different areas, but really in rural underserved areas, which in Wilkes County, we know that we are underserved with primary care physicians, dentists that serve the uninsured and Medicaid population a lot of times. So this funding helps us to meet the needs for uninsured population and specialty type populations that may not be being served by other mechanisms.
Well, now, when you say a community health center, I mean, is this going to, I think you're operating out of the health department right now, but are you shooting for having an actual building where the health center will be to take care of all these things?
Yes, we are in the future. Of course, we're already, thanks to the generosity of our community and grants that we've written and our county commissioners, we are already providing primary care through our local health department. This was a need that was identified years ago when we lost a lot of our manufacturing jobs. We decided at the health department through the recommendation of the Board of Health and the county commissioners. This was before I became health director, by the way, so I can't take credit for it.
Right.
We decided that we could do some primary care in our health department. So we have been. It's been helpful to some of our people in the community who were uninsured or underinsured. So we have been providing primary care for a number of years now. Now, because we have limited space, we have limited staffing, and we have limited dollars, we haven't been able to provide as much as we would like to provide to the populations that we serve. So we are expanding that in a big way. We propose in year two we're going to be working in partnership with our community partners. Particularly, we hope that we can write more grants, get more funding to upfit some property at the Health Foundation has at the Wellness Center.
Right.
I mean, not the Wellness Center, but that property down there.
West Park.
West Park. I'm sorry. I meant to say West Park. So that is our future goal. We're looking to be able to expand the center then when we get the upfitting done for the center. If you will remember, the Wilkes Public Health Dental Clinic is also located at West Park, and we have some other facilities there, the hospital diagnostic center, we have drug stores, we have the hospital outpatient center. So this would be a central location if we were able to get the funds to upfit. It will allow us to expand our facility, to have more room, to be able to add more patients, because we'll be able to add additional providers or not doctors necessarily, but nurse practitioners and or PAs.
Now, did you have to meet some special criteria, do some special training in order to get this grant? Because this grant is like, what, $600,000 or $650,000 a year, is that right?
It is $650,000 a year, so there are 19 program requirements that we have to meet. And this particular funding cycle, they only funded 75 awards throughout the country, so it's very competitive. And so they have their criteria that they look at. Part of what they look at is, your needs in your community. So a significant portion, as we know, in Wilkes County, the population, and this is just astounds me, that over 50% of our population lives below 200% of the federal poverty guidelines.
Wow.
And so because they gave 10 extra points for people who are serving in high poverty areas. So that was one of the criteria that helped us to meet the guidelines to be funded for this project. We also, of our low-income population in Wilkes County, we know that 23% are uninsured, 36% are insured through Medicaid, and 22% are Medicare. So as we know, we have a growing aging population in our country, not just in Wilkes County, but some counties have a greater population that's aging than others, and we seem to have one of those populations. And some of that is good because we can advertise to people to retire here because we have such a beautiful county. But it also means that we have people with needs and that we need to be able to meet those needs to have a healthy population in the future.
Well, now, what types of medical treatment can they get at the community health center here in Wilkes?
Okay, so it's primary care. If you go to your family doctor, you get to, they do visits, you do your physicals. You know, we encourage people to have a medical home so they have a doctor that they see when they have health issues related around, annual physicals, chronic disease, appropriate screenings for like cancer. We also provide through the health department, and we'll be doing this through the health center grant too. We do pediatric care, which is child health. There's still family practice physicians who do pediatric care for children, although we have a wonderful pediatric office in our community and very happy to have that. But we want to meet the need of those who are uninsured, underinsured, and have difficulty obtaining access to care. So that is our goal, to reach out to that specific population.
What are
I wanted to mention some other things that we are looking at providing that typically a doctor's office might not provide.
Okay.
So we will be developing partnerships with our community partners. We want to make sure that we are able to see one of the barriers to care in a large rural county like ours is transportation. So we'll be working with our local transportation authority and trying to establish some mechanisms for making sure that patients who have that difficulty can get to their appointments. So the goal behind this center funding is to address, of course, barriers to care. We'll also be working and referring patients to our own local public health dental clinic. They do a wonderful job. They see a lot of our children already. So, but this grant also helps to provide for some preventative care for adults.
Now,
as well.
What are the days and hours of the health department where folks can get this care?
Okay, so we operate, our hours are 8:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, unless it's, a holiday. We're also, at this point, doing an after-hours clinic, and so that time varies based on the provider being able to be there, but we try to see folks who are unable to get here, during our normal operating hours. So we we'll schedule patients up to about 6 and hoping to get out of here by 7.
Okay, so they do need to call and make an appointment.
They do need to call and make an appointment. We're trying to reserve right now our after-hours clinic for sick visits, you know, for people who, particularly during the winter months when they can't get in, you know, our schedules are full. Sometimes it's difficult to work folks in, but sometimes we see other things as well.
Okay, what is the best number to call to make an appointment?
Okay, you can call our regular switchboard number. It's 336-651-7450.
Okay, and then that can take you through and you can make an appointment then for
You can make an appointment to be seen in our health department clinic.
Well, I think this is just awesome that Wilkes County was able to receive this funding. And again, this was something you guys had worked on for several years, right?
Correct. We had worked in partnership about eight or nine years ago with our rural health clinics and applied for a grant as a participant. Boomer Community Center applied, you know, for our Boomer grant. And, you know, as I said, these grants are very competitive. The grant scored high at that time, but we were not able to receive the grant, which we were all shocked. We felt like we deserved it even back then. But we were just very fortunate this time. A lot of times it depends on how many applicants apply, and what their emphasis is for that particular grant. So we were fortunate this time to be able to receive the grant funding. And this is ongoing funding as long as we're able to meet the objectives of the Bureau of Primary Health Care, the Section 330 funding that we get. So what they come in annually and they do what you might say an inspection, and they review that we're meeting all of the requirements and that we're providing care to enough of, we're adding people, we're adding patients, and we're doing what we project that we'll do. So we should be able, unless the funding is cut, you know, you can't guarantee anything on the federal level.
Right.
Unless the funding is just totally cut out, which this should allow us to be able to continue to meet those program requirements, and this would be ongoing funding.
So there's not really a time limit as long as you continue to provide.
Well, we have to reapply. I mean, you have to reapply. For instance, we'll have to reapply in April of 2018, but it's ongoing funding. You know, every 2 to 3 years, you have to reapply.
Oh, okay.
But they, you know, it is the same. As long as you're meeting the program objectives, you still get the $650,000 annually to help provide care.
All right. Awesome. Again, we are talking with Ann Absher about the Wilkes County Health Clinic and the grant funding that they got for that. We're going to take a short break, come right back with more on Focus on the Foothills right after this. Once again, welcome back to Focus on the Foothills. My guest today, the director of the Wilkes County Health Department, Ann Absher, and our thanks to her for being with us on the program. And at the last county commissioners meeting, you were there and you were talking about some changes, some post-exposure of rabies changes for dogs and cats. Now, this is something that some changes that may be being implemented across the state, but it has not become law yet. Talk to us about those changes and where we are with that here in Wilkes County.
Sure, I'll be happy to, Angela. Okay, so typically our post-exposure management for, like a lot of our laws, rules, and regulations in North Carolina that we follow in the, at the health department level, of course, comes through our general statutes from the state that legislators approve. Well, there was an update to the post-exposure management. This is new science that was updated through the Journal of American Veterinarians, and it's their science foundation. Just like if you are looking at changes for humans, there is, it's called JAMA, the Journal of American Medicine, and they have their professional associations, and they research what is the current guidelines for any disease process.
Right.
As we know, science changes, and they, you know, do research, and they have greater understanding, and so this is one of those situations. So it's called a rabies compendium by the National Association of Veterinarians, that they adopted this on the national level, saying that this is the newest science, in March of 2016. Well, on the state level, as you know, just to give you background, last summer was what they called the short session. You know, our legislators met. Their primary goal is to do the budget,
right,
or look at any changes in the budget. But there are other things that come up. And, you know, it's all about priorities, especially in the short session. We tried to, you know, we wanted to get this through then. You know, we send it up, but it wasn't one of the things that they choose to that they chose to take up on our in this legislative session. And that's not any fault of anybody's. It's just about, you know, setting your priorities. And if you remember, last summer we were dealing with the Zika virus.
Right.
We were dealing with the coal ash spill. So there were a lot of other things going on in the state that, you know, that they needed to work on. So they weren't able to take this up. So because this compendium for post-exposure management of dogs and cats would result in owners of dogs and cats having to pay less money for quarantine and that sort of thing, because it changes the guidance around how long you have to keep these pets in quarantine if they're exposed. Now, let me just say, first off, it is very important for you to get your pet vaccinated for rabies and to keep those vaccinations current.
That way you don't have to worry about the post-exposure thing so much.
Well, you still have to provide a booster if they're vaccinated.
Okay.
You know, you should seek immediate veterinarian care if you think know that your pet has been exposed to what could have been a rabid animal. And as we know, rabies is endemic in our community now, in our 'cause we have raccoons and skunks and bats are all assumed to carry rabies. So if your dog or cat, you know, we don't send all of these dead animal heads off anymore. There was a time when it wasn't endemic that we were testing some of these animals. But if there's been an exposure to your pet, to your dog or cat, you should seek immediate veterinarian care, and they should get a booster. And but if they're unvaccinated, or if they're overdue, then there are certain guidelines. It used to be you either had to put them down, which is a terrible thing to do, or there are some other recommendations in place that would decrease the number of months under quarantine, and also how that plays out. It's just guidance based on where your pet is at the time of the exposure. So felt like that this would save owners of dogs and cats a significant amount of money if the compendium, the post-exposure management of rabies, was adopted. So our state veterinarian and our state health director encouraged us on the county level to adopt this as a local board of health rule until on the state level they have time to take this up and put it in the general statutes the way we normally do it. And I know this sounds very technical, Angela, and I'm so sorry, but the good news is ultimately this results in saving dog and cat owners a lot of money if they have an animal that is potentially exposed to rabies. We still have to follow, you know, control measures, but this particularizes the control measures that we follow a little better, and is very helpful to homeowners if they have an exposure. I mean, pet owners of dogs and cats, if an exposure occurs.
Well, now there are several details to these changes. What is the best way for a pet owner to see these or to view these changes themselves?
Sure. Thank you for asking that. Now, we are, you know, I presented the information to the county commissioners at the meeting, but our local Board of Health proposes to adopt these measures at our next Board of Health meeting. So we will be posting in the newspaper 10 days in advance. We're having our next meeting on February the 13th at 5:30 at the health department in our conference room. And so if anyone wants to come and make comment, they can. They can sign up to make comment. Or I will have this to our county, the clerk of our county commissioners. It will be on file there, and they can ask for a copy, or they can ask for a copy by calling the health department. We'll be happy to give them a copy of what these changes are.
All right. Well, I was just looking. One of the maybe most immediate changes, if your pet is vaccinated, I think in the past it was you need to get a booster within 5 days, and they've now said get immediate veterinary care and a rabies booster within 96 hours of exposure. Now, that's for vaccinated. And again, it's very important to have your dogs and cats vaccinated and up to date with their vaccines.
Correct, because then you don't have, I mean, some of this involves some choices that that dog and cat owners have to make, and some of those choices are made, let's face it, based on the expense to the person who owns the dog or pet. And so for some of these other categories, like unvaccinated or overdue, it allows some of the home, I say in homeowners, I mean dog and cat owners, excuse me, a choice as to not put euthanasia or put the animal to sleep because of the expense of quarantining them for 6 months.
Right.
This allows some flexibility there that would not be as expensive. So the goal here is to not lose your precious pet if you can afford to do the observation for the period of time and be able to do that with and not cause as much expense to to the pet owner.
All right. Well, Ann, I'm sure we have a lot of information here in a short amount of time, but I appreciate so much you being with us on the program, especially since you're feeling under the weather yourself, but we appreciate you sharing with us. And again, if folks want more information, they can contact the Wilkes Health Department, right?
Yes. Be happy to field any questions you have.
All right. Ann Amster.
Thank you, Angela, for helping me get this important information out to the public.
Well, thank you for being on Focus on the Foothills today.